This is a reading from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus turned to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. In this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
John Vandalar, commenting on Easter Sunday, says it's easy to make the resurrection an intellectual exercise that focuses on details, doubts, and questions of evidence. Equally, he says, it's easy to make the resurrection little more than a touchstone of belief, of intellectual agreement, that qualifies us to call ourselves Christians. But as the readings today show, the resurrection is far less about what goes on in our minds than it is about what goes on in our lives. How then do we approach Easter Sunday and resurrection and new life in the midst of a global pandemic? When sickness and death and pain and fear, isolation and social distancing is on the front page, it's in our face, it's in the community, and it's in our lives. It's hard, I think, to get excited about Easter 2020. Where is the bursting of life, rising hope, the good news that turns Friday into Good Friday and Sunday into Resurrection Sunday? COVID-19, it challenges us. It challenges us physically and socially. It also challenges our faith and spiritually, when Orthodox faith believes in resurrection, when faith's core value is new life out of old. how, as believers, are we to open our lives to this resurrection life in Christ and allow God's life to break in and free us from all the little deaths that seek to control our lives. As people who have experienced life, faith life, new life, born again life, according to Nicodemus, living water life from the woman at the well story, insight life from the man who was born blind, and new life from the life of Lazarus, we are called by the risen Christ to be those who bring life into all the corners and into all the parts of our world where death is at work. To face the ongoing question of resurrection can be experienced. How do we do that in our diseased world? How does resurrection come to those who live in dire poverty or have been trafficked in the sex trade, or those without homes or live in camps or detention centres or even on our streets? One thing is certain: God's resurrection life will only come as those people as we are, to those people as we are, as people of the resurrection, who carry it into the world. As did Mary when she left the garden tomb and announced to the disciples that she had seen the risen Lord. It is crucial that Easter Sunday is not allowed to become just an intellectual academic mind up here in the head. The strange thing about resurrection, though, is that death is not so much opposed or destroyed, but transformed and absorbed into life. God suffers in Jesus his pain and his death, human pain and human death, and takes on all that we are and all that we are not, and absorbs that and transforms, no, it resurrects it into something new. And so as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we're also called to live resurrection in our lives. Resurrection in ways that bring life in death, among death, lives of hope, love and compassion, kindness, to challenge injustices, evils, and to face death physically and socially and say, you do not have the last say. This Easter, this time in our history, in our contemporary lives today, where are the signs of resurrection? Sure, they're hard to spot, but I believe they're there. They're there in how we, as the body of Christ, act in the world. That Easter dawn was a surprise to all. No one expected anything but death and suffering and fear. It's easy for resurrection to be an intellectual exercise, but much harder to live it out. For it to be something that goes on in our lives each day. We are in this story, this Easter Sunday story of new life and surprises, as we are like Mary and called to go back into the chaos, to go back into the pain and the fear, into the places that have not changed, and to go back with a message, a story, a way of life, a living proclamation that what we face internally, externally, physically and socially is not the end. It is not the final chapter. Why? Because God is never the end, but always about beginnings, renewal, restoration, and redemption. God is active in resurrecting. God is active in love, in hope, in peace, and kindness. God is about taking something and turning it completely on its head, saying, go, live, tell, share, love. Because that's what I've been trying to tell you for so long. In all the darkness, in all the suffering, the pain and the fear, in the face of death and decay, of opposition and violence, in all the doubt, in all the betrayal, in all the lies and all the disbelief, something new sprouts. Something new emerges. Something that says you cannot keep God and you cannot keep love buried in a tomb. Because the way of love, the very word of God, will break out. It will break out like a virus and start changing our ways one by one. And we may never be the same again. Don't believe me. Believe in the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one who says, come and follow me. Come, follow my way. Mary came to that tomb in fear and in trembling, sad and full of grief. For Mary, she knew death, fear, aloneness, separation, isolation, and distance. Mary left that garden tomb as a messenger of the good news. To live a resurrection life is to live the way of resurrection. Christ is risen. Christ is risen on this Easter Sunday. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.